have a seat and be comfortable. We've had a lot of talk about compassion from a theoretical side, and I think we came to some pretty clear perceptions. And I'm going to suggest that we do a little meditation based on compassion. But before I do, I just want to make sure that there aren't any outstanding questions or anything that somebody would like to have clarified. Because what I'm going to ask you to do is to try to bring up in yourself as strong a feeling of compassion as you can. And this is a really good exercise. I mean, of course, you can be in a real life situation where you're confronted with something and it brings up strong feelings of compassion. But it's a really good thing to especially if you're a meditator and you've developed some stable attention and you've learned how to use your mind, to just practice bringing up very strong feelings of compassion. And then practice projecting that compassion to others, okay? And might very well be the same people that you use to help bring up a clear feeling of compassion, and that's fine. Or you could do it on a larger scale. You could project your compassion to the people that are suffering in the Middle East and as displaced persons. It could be anything you imagine. It could be the people and the animals in the rainforests that whose lively lifestyles and habitats are being destroyed. It doesn't matter. It's a practice of getting familiar with compassion in your own mind. And so, make yourself comfortable. And close your eyes. Could, but I don't know where the light switch is, and when I close my eyes, it's not a problem, so. So I want you to start by getting in touch with the feelings that you are personally experiencing now. And this is a pleasant environment filled with wonderful people. You just had a break. You probably had a chance to talk with some people that you care about or find interesting. So examine your own mental state. Just take some time to do this. Look at the emotions that are present. And observe the way they come and go as we just sit here together for a few minutes. And now I want you to think back to some time, hopefully in the not too distant past, when somebody acted very compassionately towards you, when you had a need, when you were suffering. And I want you to remember the events that happened. In particular, I want you to remember that person who acted out of compassion towards you, whatever it was that they did or said. Try to put yourself in their place. You know what your suffering was. They obviously recognized it. Take your time and find an appropriate situation and recall the person involved. If you're having trouble remembering something, you may be trying to make it to something too big. The world is full of many small acts of compassion. Somebody that just helped you in some way, who totally didn't need to, who gained absolutely nothing from it, but who cared enough about you and your situation to help in some way. Now remember, you're trying to put yourself in their place. if you can tap into the selfless giving which you experienced as a struggling self. And perhaps you can recall the joy that they experienced by helping you. Think of how many have freely given of themselves for no other reason than that they just saw that you had a need in the moment. And now I want you to think about somebody that you're close to who is struggling in some way. Who has some need. And perhaps you've already felt this urge to help in some way. Perhaps you even acted upon it. But what I want you to focus on is the way this urge arises, this drive, this feeling. If it's not coming with the first person you thought of, then think of someone else. What you're looking for is that unbidden urge to do something. when you get in touch with it, you'll notice how similar it is to when you've had the urge to buy something that you liked, or to eat something that you liked, or to go somewhere that you wanted to. But that it's not about you. You notice it has the same feeling. Have you found it yet? It's the positive counterpart of desire. But it's not about you. It's about someone else. Don't get lost in the dynamics of the situation or the judgments about whether it's good or not to do this, or whether you can afford to do it or not. That's not what you're after. You're after that unbidden urge, that compulsion, that desire, that wish, that when you think about this person, and you think about the problem they have, regardless of whether it's in your power to do anything or not, but feel how that arises. Think of someone else. Think of others. You probably know many people with needs of one kind or another. Now imagine yourself acting on that urge. Doesn't matter whether in real life you have the ability to or not, but imagine that you could. Imagine that you did it. Imagine that you eased their pain or gave them what they needed. Or took some burden from them. Picture yourself doing that. And stay in touch with that feeling inside of you. Notice the sense of satisfaction that it brings. Maybe you enjoy. Notice how the emotions of fulfillment follow upon actions that are directed towards the well-being of another in exactly the same way as when you're doing something for yourself. Except that notice how much more satisfying it is. Feel free to extend this beyond people that you know personally. Think of how many ways there are that you can ease the suffering of someone else. The words you can say. Think about how many different kinds of suffering there are in the world around you. Of all the different kinds of needs that people have. Some need physical assistance. How easy it would be for you to step up and help them. People who just need comfort and friendship. People who need physical things. Clothing, shelter, food, money. And feel your heart reach out with this desire, this wish, this compulsion to fulfill those needs. Remember, you're not thinking in practical terms of whether you can or not. But you'll know you've touched that right space when the thought of being able to do those things brings you a feeling of satisfaction and joy. So take your time, introspect, observe. What is this? What is this feeling of compassion? Where does it come from? How does it relate to all of the other things that are part of the way you live? Where does it fit in your mental landscape? Don't try to figure it out, just observe. Use these little exercises as triggers to make things come up. Notice how both sympathy and empathy can give rise to compassion. Notice how compassion can become a primal force. Notice how when you set the pragmatic and practical side of yourself aside, how this primal force, this wish to help, this wish to make happy, this wish to take away pain, notice how it's a part of your mind. It's always been there. You might even experience a little tinge of fear of what this is such a powerful force. Could I really afford to let it loose? Notice the voices in your mind that speak against it. recall those immortal words. All of the happiness in the world comes from making others happy. And all of the suffering comes from trying to make ourselves happy. And take a deep breath and open your eyes. So, to some degree or another, and there will be a tremendous variation, but I hope you are all able to get in touch with that, touch into that. It's a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. Could even be a dangerous thing, but it's a beautiful thing. So it's a question of learning. It's a question of not only cultivating compassion, but learning to use compassion wisely. Because true compassion is a compulsion just as much as desire or hatred is. Lust, greed, hatred, you know what they're like. Did you notice it has that same primal power? Yeah. And people ask the question, they say, if I didn't have any desire and aversion, why would I bother to get out of bed in the morning? But this is the answer. The drive is there, the engine is there. Right? That's that other side of your nature. Right? And it's potentially just as powerful. Potentially just as troublesome, even. That's why it needs to be tempered by wisdom. At the same time, wisdom without compassion, it has a certain emptiness to it. Would anybody like to comment on their experience of that little exercise?
Thank you. It was very, very powerful. It felt like the exercise was designed to bring up that primal energy, I believe, mm-hmm. that you referred to, that awareness, and then just help it to experience itself more, mm-hmm. and experience its intensity and loving kind nature.
Yeah, that was the purpose. That was the hope. Yeah, that's where I was trying to take you. I'm glad you went with me. Some of you may have had trouble going with me, and that's all right. That's completely all right. You know, It's just, if that's where you are now, that's all right. But I hope at least everyone got a taste of it. Yes.
It brought up my gratitude for those who've been very kind to me in very strong times of need, how much I wanted to help them. When people do something for me, I feel like I must reciprocate. Mm-hmm. I found out, I was feeling inside of me, I really feel for the homeless. I wish I could stop homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many people in need, and it's just getting worse and worse, and it's like if I had any ability to, I mean, control, it's like I just don't like to see anybody suffer like that. Everybody needs food, shelter, mm-hmm. and clothing, and a way to support themselves. I've even done fundraisers for the homeless because I really feel, and I feel like little acts of gratitude that people have done that have been wonderful, that gratitude, big acts of gratitude, the things that I want to do with them to reciprocate, to make them feel better when they need the help.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like the love is the water that puts out the fire.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much for your teaching. It really helped me very, very much clarified the whole chain of internal events in compassion for me, and particularly I had not realized before that it's the same taste as desire. The impulse to action is motivated by the same taste as desire, mm-hmm. and I got that during the meditation. Okay. I'm lucky enough to have an event that I could that was within the last month, mm-hmm. so that it was fresh. And secondly, thank you for the teaching about it's important to use mindfulness of your own thoughts and reactions in the situation so that you are skillful, so that you bring mm-hmm. wisdom to the action. Because if desire is its basis, it could be a shotgun blast instead of a precise bullet, right? It could be not skillful and actually continue the problem.
That's right.
So thank you so much for that teaching.
You're welcome.
A lot of logic.
Over here.
Could you talk for a moment about the application of the wisdom or the skillfulness to bring mm-hmm. to this so that it isn't, as we've said, kind of untamed and that it's skillful?
Yeah. Well, it's, that's really, when we get to the part of talking about engaged compassion, that's where this is really going to come in. But it's just like untamed desire. You know how much trouble that you can get in with untamed desire. And, and there are people that I've known, and probably people that you can think of as well, who have suffered from untamed compassion. I say suffer from or afflicted by untamed compassion. They don't have the ability to temper it with wisdom. And without the wisdom, there is too much empathy. And you end up taking on the suffering. And you give too much of yourself. And you don't have enough left. You don't have enough left for your own needs. And that's not wise. Because you, and the ideal attitude towards yourself and others is that you see yourself as equal to others in the same way a mother sees all her children as equal and would not do something for the benefit of one at the expense of another. And you are as deserving of compassion as anyone else. And so that's an aspect of the wisdom that needs to come in to tame compassion. But most of us are coming from a different direction. We haven't really exercise compassion that much. And we may not have ever realized the power of it or the satisfaction that it brings, right? It is very fulfilling. It makes you feel really good. I think it causes a lot of dopamine to get released in your brain. Kind of like cocaine and other things like that do. Yes.
Maybe it's all chemicals. No. What I'm suggesting in the meditation of Tonglen comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of taking and giving.
Yeah.
And classically, it's my understanding that it is to benefit the one who meditates. But I've had the experience of. The recipient of my meditation calling me the next morning and say, what were you doing last night? What's happening? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a connection. There's a real connection. These are more than just words.
It is very real.
So the intention and the attempt, even just the attempt of engagement, you know, is part of the dance. Mm-hmm. That keeps us dancing.
Yes.
And that's a positive nature there.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to comment on the Tonglen, which is extremely real for me, and the meditation that, again, I've been involved in a situation, close family. I just got back from the Midwest. The problem with the Midwest, the problem with Oklahoma and Arizona, it has no ocean. That's the problem. I want to give the ocean to you.
We got a lot of beach in Arizona.
Yes, right. All the sand. But there's no vibrancy of ocean. So it's good to be back, and it's I feel nourished with your words and your teaching.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Out of Arizona. No, the land stretches, though, you know.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Huh.
a short poem of mine came to mind with all of this. I want to remember. I want to be here. I want to stop wanting, yet cessation I fear. What's there when wants not? Wants all that I got. But all of this wanting and wanting has got me distraught.
That is beautiful. Yeah. Very beautiful. That's wonderful. Is that your poem or is it?
That's me, yeah.
Well, gee. Congratulations on such a wonderful expression of that.
Thank you for clarifying some things with that practice. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So we need to learn how to cultivate compassion along with wisdom. And, you know, you want to end world hunger. You want to end the warfare and the cruelty that's taking place in parts of the world. You want to end the corruption in various places that leads to enormous poverty and enormous suffering. There are so many things on such a huge scale that we would like to do something about. And there are various ways you could go and you could get involved in an NGO that was trying to make a difference in some part of the world. Of course, that would be one way of manifesting compassion. But what you really need to do is you need to develop it locally first. And it goes global by itself. And you don't need to be the one. You don't need to move from the neighborhood you live in. You don't need to give up your career. You said you've practiced Tonglen and you've noticed we're all connected. Mentally, we're all connected. Physically, we're all connected. I'm a non-dualist. I'm not a non-dualist because it sounds like a reasonable philosophy. I'm a non-dualist because of the experiences that I've had as a result of my practice. I know for a fact that what you see as matter and what you see as mind are the same thing. There really is no such thing as mind and matter. There's something else that just looks like mind from the inside and looks like matter from the outside, but it's the same stuff. And just as we're physically connected, so are we mentally connected. To the degree that you develop your capacity for compassion, there is that much more compassion in the world, in the universe. To the degree that you learn to act on that, it multiplies the compassion. Think about how acts of compassion have made you more compassionate. Practice being on the lookout for the little acts of compassion. A couple of days ago, I was wrestling with a suitcase on a subway in New York and had also missed a stop and had to get on a different train to go backwards. All these people stepped up, three or four of them, absolutely nothing to gain, and they wanted to help. And they helped me. Little tiny acts of compassion. And the more and more that we act out of compassion, all of us, and the more compassion is in the world, and it spreads. Everybody who comes in contact with it, but you don't have to be in physical contact with it. The compassion that you practice is going to affect people on the other side of the planet.
Also think of the efficacy of prayer.
The efficacy of prayer is basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had some very serious health problems, and I've had all these people who love me and care for me, who have wished for my well-being. And you know, the way the world works, the past can't be changed. But the future is yet to be determined. And this isn't wishful thinking, this isn't mythology. This is hardcore modern science. This is quantum physics. The future is yet to be determined. And consciousness and mind play a role in determining that. What happens with my health is a probabilistic phenomenon. And when there's 1,000 people out there that are hoping that the treatment I receive is going to produce a positive result, the odds that it's going to produce a positive result shift. Now, it's not the only thing in operation, and there's no guarantee that it's going to shift, you know, far enough to produce the almost ideal outcome, but it has an effect. And it's the same thing with compassion. You want to win, you want to end world hunger, you want to end war and savagery, you want to end ethnic hatred, all of these other things. You start practicing compassion at home. And as you mature and develop in your practice of compassion, you'll find other ways to do it. And you'll be working in both on both sides of this non-dual reality. You'll be spreading compassion every time you practice it. And the compassion that you practice is going to likewise have effects and from the material perspective and spread everywhere. So it's about time to call the evening over. But what I hope is that everybody in this room leaves going home with a new understanding of what compassion is and the power of compassion, and that it's the engine that replaces craving. Right? When the craving goes away, what keeps things happening? It's compassion. And it's the combination of wisdom and compassion that makes it really effective. Because just if you unleashed compassion without wisdom, I mean, you do a lot of short-term good in your immediate vicinity, but nowhere near as much as if that compassion were firmly wedded to wisdom. And so we all become, in our own ways, to some degree, Buddhas of wisdom and compassion. So, thank you. And I look forward to continuing this discussion tomorrow.